grip on what Pride's real reasoning was all about. And it's not to say that we can't party. People try to place a dividing line between politics and partying. But I think this aspect of the politics is getting lost in this process, where a kind of capitalist, corporatized police presence, you know, political, meaning politicians type influence on our event has just swung in their direction so much that we are really losing our voice in the process. And I think we really have to take a hold of that and yank it back, even if it means scaling it back and bringing it back down to the community level so that it's meaningful for us and not about how much more dollars you can bring in for Pride, you know, the Pride organization itself, or for the economy for that matter.
Indeed.
You're listening to KBOO KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. We just heard Preference with Hedda and his guests Arya Saheed and Nico Moulay. And if you'd like to hear that episode in full, you can go to kboo.fm and look for Preference. Next up is Calculated Conversation with David and Ken.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Unity, a night of feminist Latinx BDX hip-hop, Tuesday, August 28th at 9 p.m. at the Dog for Lunch in Portland. Unity features artists Maria Advertencia Lirica from Oaxaca, Valentina Peralta from Chile, Portland's Kayla J, and DJ La Pausi. Nunca fuimos de viaje a Japón. This event is also sponsored by Colectivo Ruda and Cup Hoop Creative. Again, that's Unity, a night of feminist Latinx BDX hip-hop, Tuesday, August 28th at 9 p.m. at the Dog Fair Lounge, 830 E. Burnside Street in Portland. This is a 21 and over event. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under community events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Bound, Africans vs. African Americans movie screening and discussion, on Saturday, August 24th at 2 p.m. at the Central Library in Portland. The movie will be followed by a panel discussion about the Black diaspora. Again, that's Bound, Africans vs. African Americans movie screening and discussion on Saturday, August 24th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Central Library, 801 Southwest 10th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Facilities, cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it get funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat, and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what? I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well I'm dropping English, even if Yella makes it a cappella. I still express yo, I don't smoke weed or sex, cause it's known to give a brother brain damage, and brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing but making a sucker in you equal. Don't be another sequel. Spread yourself, do it good. Spread yourself. For the pop chart, so where should a brother like you start expressing yourself, my boy, and show you how your track,
what up,
drop English right about now. Getting back to the PG, that's program, and it's easy.
Yes, 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 it is Tuesday and you back online with the wonderful Calculated Conversation radio show. I'm your host David and
Ken Jones.
Right, back in the house for another wonderful episode. We got a great surprise guest in for you today who's going to give us a little bit of insight about where she comes from, what she's doing, and why, and how you can support that. But first, we're going to tap in with each other. What's up, bro?
Hey, not too much. I ain't even concerned about me. We left off last week with you getting up and getting out of here. So that's what we want to hear about.
Oh, we did. We did. I got back from, I was in Las Vegas. I went on Friday, I think, and got back Monday.
Okay.
So I was out there for like 3 days, kind of. But
okay.
My boy, one of my middle school friends was getting married, you know what I'm saying? And so he wanted everybody to go out to Vegas for, you know, his bachelor party shenanigans and whatnot. And so, yeah, so we, you know, and I'd only seen this stuff on Hangover, on movies and stuff. So I was like, you know. I've been to Vegas before, you know. Typically, I would go solo, just on business, you know.
Right.
I'd visit the Magic Show a couple of times, and
okay.
I did a couple of sneaker expos out there called the Dunk Exchange and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I never really got to go out there and really just, you know, have a boys, you
right.
know, weekend out, you know. So it was crazy, man. It was crazy. But it was a blessing. It was a once-in-a-lifetime trip, I think. I don't think nothing like that had happened
okay.
again. Like, it was 20 of us down there. And, you know, we all know each other. I mean, most of us have known each other for at least 25 years or more.
Jeez.
You know what I'm saying? So just the level of fun and crazy and history and laughter and reminiscing and the gratitude everybody showed.
Right,
you know,
right,
like
right.
everybody was grateful. You know, I was skeptical, man, because I don't like to be up. I get mad when I'm outside and the sun start coming up.
Right.
I'm like, what is y'all doing? Like, we should be walking around here at 7 a.m. Like,
right.
You know, I was getting tired. You know, I was fighting for my life out there, boy. You know, but other than that, you know, it's a trip I didn't want to miss. You know, I grew up with a lot of these guys. We known each other forever. You know, and again, when you're dealing with, you know, gentlemen like us, especially getting into an older age, a lot of us don't really get to that point to where they still, you know, maintaining their sense of, you know, energy, you know,
yeah.
And success and positivity, you know, and value. And, you know, because you got to fight, you know, like the older you get, the longer you've been fighting to really, and I ain't going to say fighting like it's a bad thing, but the more you put effort into really, really trying to define yourself and stand the test of time
right.
is really what I was, kind of how I look at it.
Right, right.
And I know a lot of guys we grew up with, you know, didn't get a chance to make it to this point of, you know, mental clarity and still purpose and focus, because a lot of, you know, if you're not strong enough, I mean, you can get beat down by life. You can go into addiction. You know, you can, you know, marry the wrong person and your life could become a little bit in chaos.
Right,
you know,
right.
So many things can happen. You could be in prison. I mean, a lot of us aren't alive. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
And so, you know, seeing that many people from that era still maintaining, still smiling, still taking care of themselves and their family, still looking good.
Right.
It's just a true, true blessing.
A
you
sight
know?
To behold.
Yeah. So I ain't gonna go too much into that, but yeah, we had a good time, man. You know, and it's definitely it's gonna be one for the history books, I believe.
That's activity.
So yeah.
That's activity.
So. But on top of that, so you was good this weekend?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'm keeping it basic. I think I went out. Oh, I took Morg out to go do her first gun range experience.
Really?
So that was a cool little moment. She was spooked.
Was
in
she?
The beginning. Yeah, it was spur of the moment. So I hit her and was just like, let's go do it. We She went out to the little outdoor range I go to, and I let her start. You know, we went smallest caliber up to the biggest boom,
uh-huh.
and once she got like halfway through it, she was juiced. She was trying to shoot everything, so that was
Where's
a cool experience. Yeah.
Dang, I know that's it. I remember my first time, man. I was like, you can do that? You know,
yeah.
just shooting like fully automatic.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, getting out to them outdoor spots is kind of interesting. I was because even where this place is at, you know, you got to drive up 26 like 40 minutes and go off a road and like another 10 minutes into the wood almost. And the first couple times of going, like, I found out about this on a forum, right?
Right.
And so I'm just out there, and that feeling of like, this is like people do this, right?
Right.
And then getting out there too and being just still a little weird, probably like the first two or three times until I got comfortable. But now it's all good.
It's a trip, man. Just to know that you can do that. You know what I'm saying? So many people try to shoot in the city. Like, you got a place you can go shoot if you want to relax and just get something off your chest. You don't have to hurt nobody.
Right. Just,
you know, but.
But yeah, so that was I think, the highlight. Outside of that, it's been a lot of reading and writing. That's about it.
Yeah. Man. Speaking of reading, I don't want to talk too much about it, man, but I'm reading this crazy book called.
The Way of the Superior Man.
Yeah, the way of the Superior Man. You read that already?
I'm like halfway through, and the thing, I've read half of it, lost that book, and then when you had posted that, I was like, that I need to go reorder that. So that was like the cue, which I got like 8 books all at once. But yeah,
I just started reading it, like really reading it on Friday on my way to Vegas, and like I'm almost done. I got like 20 pages left.
Yeah.
I like consumed my whole, you know, flight back and forth with staying in that book. I needed, you know. And I was blown away, man. Blown away, thinking that I understand myself. You know, I mean, really, I do understand myself, but really, I think my relationship to women and what I think I know about them and,
right.
And what I think is right, you know. And I consider myself, you know, a reasonably intelligent man, you know. And
right.
I was very surprisingly, you know, shocked to realize how much I didn't know about women, you know, and how to, you know, communicate and listen and what certain things mean, you know,
right.
Like we just, and I encourage any man to take a look at that book, man.
I'm in the same boat. That's you know, it's interesting when you start seeing these little reflections of things and again, as you said, feel like, you know, you're pretty intelligent, can you know, do your deductive reasoning and situation, and you start seeing like,
there was much
of nothing that I knew, and that's one of those humbling books. I feel like it's a few of those. What's wild is this right here, this blind spot book. I'm in the, not even the middle, I'm barely starting, but I'm 25 pages in, and the thing is, everything in here is hit with stats.
Right.
They're showing you how a lot of the ways we do our anchoring, you know, a lot of the ways in which we operate based on like skewed data, just our life, and not putting into perspective, you know, what's actually out there. We're just taking it from this limited. And of course, we talk about this all the time, but seeing the numbers next to it is wild.
It's astounding, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So I just think that continue to read, people.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah, continue to read, because I mean, you know, like, you know, as long as you're open to the challenge of, you know, I just think, you know, we always talk about it on the show, but, you know, it's very important to be able to hold, you know, some of your beliefs to the standard test of time, you know, and career goals and just life goals in general, you know. And, you know, if they don't work out, if they seem to be off or outdated, then, you know, you got to be okay with challenging your way of thinking in order to really be able to take the most that the world has to offer you. Mentally. So I really, you know, like as much as I think I knew already, like I really enjoyed being kind of, that book put me in my place, honestly.
Same.
And so now I'm thinking about which exit I call back from 2015 and apologize.
This is my sorry for.
No, but man, we got a wonderful guest in the house. You don't want to delay that.
Sorry for that long lead-in, people.
Because she, we had a long weekend, but because she is a genius with an amazing heart and passion for what she does. And so I'm excited to be working with her this summer on some dope events. I'll let her tell you about. But Abibat is her first name, and Duro Simi, right?
Yeah, she good.
Right? Okay.
Got it.
All right. Yeah, I used to read when I was a little bit. But you know, we're glad to have you. We know that one thing we do know is that you created Bloom Collective.
Yes.
Am I right?
Bloom Beauty Collective. Yes.
Bloom Beauty Collective.
Yes.
We also know that you heavy into creative entrepreneurship. I do know you have a major passion for community and business, and making all those connections. So we definitely, we great to have you. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I got a lot on my plate, you know, but this weekend's coming up. I'm excited about it. I appreciate you coming forward and, you know, being interested in working with me. And it was, you know, it's I'm excited for what's to come this weekend. A lot going on. So I'm trying to get my brain, you know, to settle down. You know, I'm always on the go.
All right.
So, yeah.
So I don't want to, you know, let's catch the people up a little bit. Tell us the Bloom Beauty Collective. What is that? And why does this exist? And why did you put this together?
Well, Bloom stands for blossoming, growing where you plant it, you know. Beauty, beauty from inside out, from the mind, body, soul, and collective, bringing individuals who are like-minded individuals who come together and do something great. I started Bloom Beauty Collective in 2017. It was a little bit right after Prince. I used to work for Prince for 5 years, and it was a little bit right after he passed away, and I had to figure out what was like my next move, and I was in transition. I'm a hairstylist and makeup artist first. That's my bread and butter. Been doing that for over 20 years. And that's how I was connected through, by doing my craft and whatnot. That's how I was able to work with Prince and whatnot, and you know, meeting the right people. But overall, the point of Bloom Beauty Collective is just that, everything that I have gone through in the past 20 years and where I'm at right now is subjected to everything that is involved with Bloom Beauty Collective, which is beauty, music, fashion, art, health, mental awareness. I mean, without all of that, you can't have, you can't create, right? You got to be healthy mind, body, and soul for you to be able to let yourself go express yourself. And I feel like a lot of people who are artists or who are creatives need to find their outlets. And my goal is to help them find that outlet and be able to turn that into a lucrative business. You know, I think that, you know, a lot of people with artists, like you said, mentioned before, when you said when people go through this mental imbalance where it's just, you know, they're going through depression, or, you know, they turn into something, you know, addictive personalities or whatnot. And my whole goal is to change that attitude into something positive and focus on something positive more so. It's easy to go downhill. It's easy to be upset. It's easy to cry. You know what I mean? I mean, for a lot of people, they like to hold that stuff in. They don't know how to exert that energy, and they misplace it in a negative way. And my goal is to showcase a different way to do that. And to do that, I utilize the people around me, my community, my tribe. I think, foremost, I mean, I think that's something that you have to build first, is the people around you, because your environment is what makes who you are, you know, your family, your parents, you know, your parents for most part, and then your siblings, and then your friends, and you go to school, and then it goes on, you know. So I think that when you go through life, you have to figure out exactly who is for you and who's not. And when you're young, I think we are placed in a way where everybody should be your friend. I think that's what is taught, like, you know, when we're younger, you see cartoons, you know, anything that has to do with, you know, children based is all about friendship, loving, and all that stuff. But at the same time, it doesn't discuss the real part of that. You know what I mean? Because not everybody is loving. Not everybody is, you know, in a positive way of thinking. And sometimes it's due to, you know, what they have gone through in their past. Hurt people hurt people, you know? And it's just one of those things where I have to teach my children, you know, that. And also remind myself of that when I start to grow. And, yeah. And, yeah. And I'm a sensitive person. As a creative, I try to, you know, be aware of all that. And, you know, and instill that in my children and the people that I'm close to. So yeah, so that's the root of Bloom Beauty Collective.
Man, that's deep. Love it, love it. You got a question, Ken? Because I'm ready to.
No, I was thinking of you know, you talked about finding the outlets for creativity within people. So, like, how do you help to get people rolling along and figuring that piece out for themselves?
Well, the funny thing about it is, me being a hairstylist, I've come to be a counselor. You know, you hear everybody's problems, you know, their worries,
rumors,
you know, rumors, all that, all that, you know, but more so their fear, you know. They share their fear, and a lot of it is about their life. So after school, what is next? It's your career, it's your job, right? And your family. And if you don't have a family, you focus is your career. And some people are not happy with their 9 to 5. You know, some people are deep down, you know, passionate, creative beings, and 9 to 5 is just holding them down financially. But it's not holding them down mentally, you know, and that mental goes into the physical, right? So, yeah, so I take that in, and naturally I'm just, I always want to help people. That's just me. You know what I mean? I just, I'm, you know, I'm all about making sure everybody around me is feeling good and they are okay, all that good stuff. And then I think about myself. And, but, you know, that is, a gift and a burden sometimes, you know, because not every time people think that you are dealing with the stuff that you're dealing with. Yeah. But you know what though? But that's my way of reserving my my energy in some way, in some form, as just far as like whatever I'm going through. I like to hear what you're dealing with, and then I'm like, okay, you know what? Maybe you should try this. Right. Or there's a gift that you have. You know, I know this person. Mm-hmm. You know, and as yeah. now it's like this is me just handing you something, and then you make it for whatever.
Right, right.
You can
right.
sit on it. You know, you could do whatever. You know, women will ask me. Okay, I'm 41 years old, mm-hmm. right? After having my kids, you know, I had a situation where, you know, I had to like go through a transition in life, okay. and I had to really think about my health.
Right.
And so I started, you know, doing yoga and working out every day. Mm-hmm. That was my peace of mind. That's my me time.
Okay.
And then I'm able to deal with my family, my kids, and then my work and my career. So, yeah, I think overall, remind me again where I'm going. I'm sorry.
Trying to how you help push people
yeah.
towards.
So yeah, yeah. So you know, and I think when I think about myself, I always still think about them and what they are going through, okay. and I try to be aware of that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
yeah.
I think that's a talent, and I feel like I've had this conversation a couple times in the past week or so, is people's ability to recognize where they're talking to somebody and they've got something that would work for somebody else that they know, and for that to come up all the time,
mm-hmm.
really being that networker, but just, you know, setting people up, like you say, set the play up, they can do whatever yeah, with that, but
exactly,
at least put the name here, mm-hmm. get the introduction going,
yeah,
you know, something like that. And I think that right there is one of the most awesome just traits to have, mm-hmm. to be able to pick up on that quick and mm-hmm. throw that lob.
Oh yeah,
that's one of those traits that you only have typically when you naturally just kind of care about the, you know, about the life of other people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. once you see that, you see things that would benefit them. And it's not like you try to think about it. You just naturally make the yeah. connection because you want to see things happen for people.
Right. right, exactly.
You know what I mean? And so, and it's really hard. And I know it's hard on me and a lot of other people, like mm-hmm. yourself sometimes, when people don't really see the greatness in themselves. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. that can be, it's really difficult to see how great you are because, right. you know, everything from society, media, you know, television, social media, like all these things will tell you, you know, you're not capable enough of being great and just stay where you are, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
And just the blessing on the other side, once people really start to take advantage of their own creativity and the things that they naturally are gifted at, and they start to see the benefits, like life is completely different.
Oh yeah.
it's freeing,
you know.
It turns into an amazing place after that, right?
Definitely. I think for me, I've always kind of led with my heart, you know. I mean, of course I'll think twice. If you know let my dad tell me, it'd be something different. But overall, I try to make sure that we need to make sure that look, it's so funny because I'm talking right now, and then I also got business coming on my phone right now. So I'm gonna be like, okay. But overall, help me bring me back real quick. I'm sorry.
well, no, we were just kind of talking about yeah. you know, people taking advantage of their own gifts and
yes.
being able to
yeah.
You know, really, really understand the importance of that and how mm-hmm. it kind of defines your life to a level that makes sense of why you're even here.
Right.
You know,
right.
People that know why they're here operate on a daily basis with a completely different energy than
definitely.
People who don't understand why they're here.
They're here. Exactly. You know? Exactly. It's hard. I think a lot of it is that fear factor, because I think people do know, they just don't want, they're scared to try it.
Uncomfortable.
You know what I mean? They're very uncomfortable with that. They're, you know, for some people, anxiety, you know, strikes them, you know, and they don't know what to do with it,
right,
you
right.
know, and hence why I feel like you need to find some type of artistic way, a creative way to exert that.
Yes.
You know, and some people like to draw, some people like to talk, some people like to write music, you know, make
right.
music. And I feel like people should, you know, test that left hand side, you know,
yeah.
you know, and see how that works for you.
Right.
You know, so I definitely, whenever I, you know, have my colleagues or my clients and my friends, and they have their woes and whatnot, I definitely try to give them that, you know, silver lining.
I think something too to add on to that is that people who have a natural gift, especially when it comes to communication, right,
mm-hmm.
and a certain way with being able to read people emotionally, having that emotional intelligence, and so on. You may get told that, but you think this is regular.
Right.
So it's the other people that are seeing this, like, no, that's not, that's not how people do this, right? You know, like a physical talent is one thing. Somebody got crazy jumps, or, you know what I'm saying? Something like that. That's one thing. But I think there, it's a different thing when it's an emotional, you know, level that you're able to connect with people. And what I think happens a lot of times, especially in the creative world, it's like, I'm just doing this. This isn't that great, right?
Right.
Because
you're
not.
They see it as a hobby for them. You know what I mean? Naturally, it's like, this is a hobby. And if I turn this into something lucrative, then it will not be fun for me. And I think that a lot of people, you know, fear that whole business aspect.
Yeah.
can be you know, hindrance to them, and it shouldn't, because there should be people there to help you with
that,
you know, and so that's where I come from. And like, you know, hey, you know, I know someone that can help you with this, you know, there's you know, that's building your tribe at the end of the day.
You know, the key, that's key right there. The people around you is going to tell you, and you keep hearing the consistency in what's being said. You know, hopefully it's positive stuff that's consistently being said, but you know, you take that in. You got to take that in. And run with that. And I think, though, there is a lot of people, you know, for myself, in a lot of ways, it took a while to even accept compliments on certain things. It'd be like, you're really good at this. Like, that's weird. Like, I'm not doing anything extra. I'm just
You're just doing
me.
You. Yeah. Right. And I mean, and naturally, that's just you naturally being humble. Like, that's, you're not thinking anything else.
Right.
Beyond that.
Right.
And if you are, then, you know, things normally don't really go that well. You know what I mean? So, you know, I feel like, you know, it's that golden rule, you know, factor of, you know, knowing who you are, being respectful to others and so on and so forth, and knowing your limits too as well. But but also, you know, stretch those limits too.
Righteous.
Learn how to do that. And learning from your mistakes, the negativity around you, all of that. I think you gotta protect your energy space.
Right.
You know, I'm all about that. You know, you know, so if I feel something like kind of, you know, raw coming my way, I'm like, I'm turning to the other side, you know. And if I feel that energy, I let it go. And that's one thing I learned about Prince too. Like, everybody always think that he was just, you know, either, you know, just a-hole or just, you know, whatever, you know, but he was about his business and he was about his creativity. And when you're an artist and you're creative, you're all about the energy around you. And if it doesn't seem like they're aligned with what you're trying to do and you know that you're helping them,
right,
like, man, keep it moving.
Hey.
I gotta go. You know what I mean?
We're getting insights.
Yeah, next time. I'm gonna love you from afar.
Right.
You know, I'm gonna keep it moving. I'm gonna go this way. You know, and I feel like, and it's okay to do that. You know, I think like a lot of people feel like, you know, it's a selfish way of thinking, but at the end of the day, man, you're just for, you're you. You're for you. You're for you. There's nobody else gonna do anything for you, so, for you but you.
Right.
Right? You gotta trust yourself.
Right.
And I feel like, people need to start doing that more.
Right.
I think the older you get, the more you start to realize that you're not thinking about trying to always make everybody happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when those people are not the ones who are actually making you happy either.
Right.
That part, right? So just being aware of that,
right,
and knowing, you know, what's around you and all that stuff. You know,
it's really taking that energy exchange.
Yeah. Exactly.
I know one thing that I want your opinion on that. I know that works for me. I'm thinking, you know, Ken too, from, you know, what we discussed, but I know what's easier for me is that, I mean, I may or may not always trust my decision making or trust myself, you know. What I found beneficial in my life was realizing that it was bigger than me, and taking a lot of the power, taking some of the decision making power away from myself. The belief that something is guiding me to a bigger purpose, and acknowledging that and staying loyal to that, even if I don't agree or don't understand why at the time, you know, and it, you know, those energies also tell you to dismiss yourself from certain areas, certain people, certain organizations,
exactly,
certain conversations, you know, and so like, and so what do you think, like, and so I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm a spiritual man. You know, I try not to complicate things personally because it's my own personal choice. I try not to, you know, name my savior. I try not to, you know, get into, you know, trying to designate a specific prophet like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm just more, I just want to be more of the universe. A student of the universe is what I call myself. And the things that I follow are things that, you know, basically rotate around me in my life every day, whether I see it or not, and I try to take note of those energies so I know I'm going in the right direction. And as I've done that, I've been able to really meet some amazing people have some amazing experiences, really be able to kind of move my brand around and, you know, get a lot of respect and love from the community. So it works amazing. So do you have anything that you used that's guiding you bigger than yourself? Anything that you contribute a lot of your awareness to or your success to? Or do you think it's just all you and making your conscious decisions of where you want your life to be at and how you want to get there?
It's Allah first for me. He's my universe. I think anything else beyond that is irrelevant. You know, I'm definitely, I mean, he makes everything. So the stars, the constellation, those are our maps. You know what I mean? That's a map to who you are as an individual. We matter. There's something about us that matters. And so, so when I do read outside from the Quran or the Bible, and I'm going into the more, I guess you would say, the scientific side, that all connects. That all connects. And only mathematicians and scientists will understand that, but they want to believe that they're the ones. You know what I mean? Right. So let's not go that too far. But overall, yes, I'm a spiritual person. I feel like God is the one who's guiding me to everything that I'm going through. You know, we make our decisions at the end of the day. He puts that little gem into, just like how we were just talking about earlier, he puts it in me to say something to that person.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Because it's like, I'm not going to just come out of my head off of that. Like, I'm speaking it now and it's going to happen. Right. And it's been like that for me. I've been blessed. I've been so blessed. And in being able to understand my words that comes out of my mouth, my thoughts, you know, to control that and understand that, it's amazing. And I'm a very emotional person. I'm a Cancer. Okay. So I'm all over the place half the time. But when I have to, when I finally check myself, I can ground myself and be like, okay, hey, there's you know, this is a, there's a bigger picture. So the things that you're going through, the trials and tribulations, there's always a bigger picture. That's the way of God testing you, correct? Right? So I feel like, yeah. I mean, anything else as far as, you know, prophets concerned, all that stuff, that's still a family. That's still him, you know? But, yeah. So, I mean, my parents were, you know, raised Muslim. We were raised through a Pentecostal church, Christian, you know, but I also grew up learning both and having to understand both and how it is one and the same.
Right.
It's just a different aspect of how you look at it. And I feel like, and this is my opinion, you guys can disagree or whatever, but sometimes I feel religion is idealism. I feel like it's man-made, you know? I think at the whole, if you read everything, it all comes in one bigger picture at the end of the day. You know, it's just pretty much how you see it, your perspective. Right. And when you can see it all, it's a lot more clearer. I don't think it should, I don't think it's ever misleading. And I feel like when you are stuck to one road or one way of thinking, it diverses you from everything else, you know, and not being open-minded to anything else that comes your way. So you might miss the shot, you know, if you just felt like, oh, this is the way I should think, this is how it should be, and blah, 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 blah. But then you're not living your life.
Right.
You're not living life that God has put you here on earth for.
Right.
You know, and especially when you're a genuine good person, you know. I think everybody at the end of the day is born good, you know. I think they just go through certain things that turn them into something else that we now see in the world right now.
Right.
Exactly. You know, I just feel like when you get older and you get that hint of wisdom, I feel like that's that little crack, you know, in your window that you need to just break and just break through and be able to. And just embrace that, you know, God-given air that he's giving you, you know? So,
That'll change your life, you know? It'll change your whole purpose and how you feel about yourself, the world, you know, your reasoning for being here. It's a very profound level of enlightenment that, you know, those who get a chance to experience it, man, have really become some of the most blessed people that I've come across. They understand that, you know? That's the way. That's the way to do it. That's the way to kind of live, you know? But, you know, I don't want to, you know, miss out on talking about the major event you got going on this weekend.
Yes.
So we're doing Sneaker Week.
Sneaker Week.
This Saturday. Is it Saturday?
Yep, it's this Saturday, August 17th at Sentinel Hotel.
Right.
So Sneaker Week is 3 years in. This is my second year.
Last year when I saw him, like, you're putting on the Sneaker Week and not getting stacking kicks involved.
I know.
I'm
listen.
Get a hold of her, or whoever that is.
You know, I think, you know, overall, it's just, here I am. I'm from Portland. I will say that. I've been here for over 30 years. I've seen the transition it has gone through, especially in the Black community, especially in our entertainment world, where we really zone into how we don't get recognized for that. And especially a lot of us who are spread out through different corporations, industries, you know, Sneaker Week is like pretty much the hub about that.
Yeah.
That aspect, right? So here we are. We're in Portland, Oregon, and we're living in a hub of sneaker world. Mm-hmm. We got Nike, Adidas, exactly. Under Armour. We got even Lululemon's like across the way, you know, in Canada. We're that hub, right? We got Google, Intel. Like, we're that hub, and why not come together and celebrate a culture that we all love? Sneakers. And so my part of Sneaker Week is the fashion show. So I take everything that's going on that whole week and summed it into one night.
Okay.
And I'm excited about that. This is my second year producing just fashion shows, fourth fashion show. And I'm excited because it's like every time it gets better and better and better and better. And and it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing. A lot of people, I appreciate the people that have came into my life throughout the whole process. You know, some people are not as close as was before, but you know, there's a reason for everything like that. But then you, like I said, you love them from afar and they're still there, you know, they're still in my tribe. They're still in my community. But overall, let's not just, you know, drive off from that, but this weekend is going to be awesome. And I definitely have put a lot of energy in it. My team has put a lot of energy in it. Pretty much what we're bringing to the table is taking New York, Harlem into Sentinel Hotel, the Governor Ballroom in Portland, Oregon. I don't want to put, you know, too much into it because I want you guys to see it. So get them tickets. Okay. So it starts at 6 p.m. Doors open, VIP. You get food, drink tickets, and meet and greet to the designers, the host, and everybody that's involved in the show. And then general admission is available too as well. But if you get those VIP tickets, you get a chance to, you know, go to the after party.
Right.
And the after party involves my amazing guy Issa, my homeboy Easy McCoy,
right.
And most of all Jim Jones.
Right.
Hey. You know, yes, you know, the legend hip hop Harlem kind of, so
Ballin.
He's coming through, and the best part of it is the people that have supported us, and that's, you know, Kenton Hotel, which is a new hotel that is being built in North Interstate in the Kenton area, right next to the Paul Bunyan, that old school Comfort Inn that was looking all raggedy is looking amazing right now. And I am actually helping out with that, and that next following day, that Sunday, they're doing a grand opening for it, and it's a block party for the family and all, and it's a minority owned hotel. Okay, y'all, like, it's brown people, black people are owning that, right? And it's amazing. It's amazing. I'm glad that I'm part of that. And it's just this past like year and a half been quick. It went quick. And I've done so much. And I thank God and my family and my kids who have been like just holding on there with me, you know what I mean? Just seeing that I'm trying to develop something. I mean, it's not easy, you know?
Of course.
I mean, you see a passion, you see a dream, you want people to be there with you. You want them to have the same passion, the same work ethics. And, you know, if we can, you know, get everybody like that and a collective of us to come together and make something, you know, beautiful, I mean, why not? And we deserve that now. I mean, here in Portland, we don't... A little bit of background for myself, as far as my career as like freelance work, you know, apart from just being hair and makeup artist, I was doing Portland Fashion Week when it was Portland Fashion Week in the beginning, and I was the only person of color in the background.
Okay.
Let's say for the whole thing, okay, apart from the models that were there.
Okay.
I was doing it for 10 years. Portland Fashion Week split up, and it became Fashion Next, and then Portland Fashion Week. I did both. I did when Fashion Next came in, and Time Magazine came out, and they got my model that I did hair and makeup for right in the cover. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's insane, right? And so I'm like, people who are like me, that look like me, need to be able to do this too if they want to, right? Not everybody should feel like they should be restricted to whatever their mold is, right? Like, if your hairstyle, you should be only be behind the chair. Like, that should not be it. There's more to that, especially if you're the type of person who can't sit still. I'm that person. I can't sit still. Right. So it's like, I like to do different things, you know. I get bored easily, so yeah, I do weddings, I do, you know, videos, commercial shoots, and all that stuff. And I feel like when we focus on our passion and think beyond that, you know, it just gets a much, it gets fun. It gets, it's a lot of fun. Yeah. It's a lot of fun, you know? And when you think about the bigger picture of that, you know, like, man, this is 3 weeks in that I'm working on Sneaker Week. And that's between after my fashion show that I did in April. Right? Was it in April? Yeah. No, May. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, the months are starting to roll together. Right. The days are starting to roll together. I don't even know what date it is. But all I know is that this weekend, August 17th and August 18th, Saturday and Sunday, is going to be amazing. And I think you guys should come out and support and enjoy each other. The fashion show is going to be amazing. It's something new. It's definitely something new that Portland has ever had.
Real quick, before I go to the next question, tell them where they can get tickets at and where they can find information.
Yes. So please go to sneakerweekpdx.com. Scroll all the way down under the events and you'll see the Sneaker Week fashion show, and go ahead and get those tickets.
Right.
Yes.
So I'm real quick, if we got listeners out there that kind of want to tap in with a V-Bat or tap in with one of us and just kind of give us your input, you want to talk about Sneaker Week or, you know, some of the other issues we're breaking down as far as, you know, mindset, entrepreneurship, creativity, please give us a call. You know, we'd love to hear from you. We have 503-231-8187. And so I wanted to ask you a quick question. You know, I feel like we got a lot of stuff in common as I hear you talk more. Like, you almost sound like me in a way, you know what I mean? Because all the stuff that I like to get involved in because I can't sit still. Mm-hmm. And then I see something missing and I got a vision. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. You know, so I'm working on my fifth fashion show called Walk This Way. You know, so I've done four. And it was crazy. It was just, you know, I had the same idea you had, you know. So I work with more, you know, I try to work with some of the smaller, newer urban brands that really don't have no idea what running the brand is about. And I try to give them that experience.
Yeah.
Because I know what it's like getting in a city where nobody's really doing it or trying to help. Mm-hmm. And, like, having to kind of go, you know, run around like a chicken with your head cut off to figure out how do you get the stuff created and how do you do this and do that. And so in the midst of doing so, I gained a lot of wisdom about the industry, you know. And so my point is, I put it together. I had an idea and, you know, I let the energy get the right people involved. And it was crazy because when the first one, you know, when we did the first one, like, it was way better than I imagined. So talk to us about just the energy of having the fun, the gratitude, and seeing a vision in your head, you know, realizing that you're going to create this, you know, allowing yourself to get the right people involved, and then coming to the event and seeing everybody there enjoying, networking, maximizing the benefit of something you created in your mind, and getting to sit back and be like, dang. Like, it came to get, like, everybody. Like,
I did that?
You know what I mean? Like, I've had that feeling. I know you've had, too. So what is that?
It's overwhelming. It's an overwhelming feeling because I don't get a chance to. It's such an adrenaline rush throughout the whole process. Right. You don't catch it until later on. True. And, like, I don't catch it until I see a video of it or a photo of it. But then when I get it is when people come to me and tell me that how much fun they had and when I'm going to do it again. Hey. And that's the reason why I do it again is because those people, and it could be a handful of them, tell me to do it again, but I'm gonna do it again.
Right.
You know, and I will push myself and I will reach out to others to, you know, to help me build this. And and you know, some do, some, you know, some are, you know, will support me in another way. But either way, it's a blessing because to get any type of support, it's like, man, you know, because I'm only one person and I got kids. And so, yeah, so this is one of those things where I'm like, okay, God, please bring the right people to me, you know, and make me figure out how to utilize them. A lot of people don't even know what to do. Right. I mean, runway, the production of a runway show, it's
right.
It's a lot. You know it, yeah, right? Yeah. You know, and a lot of it, especially when you're dealing with multiple showcases.
Oh, my goodness. You know,
so with Sneaker Week, we got, I think, six, I think. Yep, counting, stacking, kicks. And, hey, you know, so we, young, you know, so. Yeah. So we got to see Society. We also have Laundry, PDX, and Kiriko.
Yeah,
right. And Japan. And so it's like when you have so many and in between you trying to do something extra too and to give them that little you know, to the show, that's a lot more too. So I can't wait for all that to, not to say to end, but to see, you know, it transpire. Yeah. And you know, and see where.
Okay.
Yeah, so yes.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. All right, all right. We got I think we got a phone call in. Nisa, you online?
Yes, I am.
What's happening? Hi, how you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. I want to thank you and what's her name? Abiba, for letting me participate in Sneaker Week this weekend.
Oh, yes.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
And also, David, he's also let me participate in the hairstyling for his Walk This Way.
Right.
Oh, awesome. Blessings. Hey. Well, you got a beautiful gift, so yes, of course.
Yes, thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Looking forward to this weekend.
Me too.
Me three.
Please tell your friends, girl. Let everybody know.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, I'm I'm out here doing hair. I've been doing it for a while. I've been having some, you know, health issues, but now everything is getting back better.
Bless
I'm trying
thanks.
To start my new brand called Beauty Throne.
Yes.
I appreciate you guys and support for the city and stuff like that. I just wanted to call in and say thank you.
Oh, thank you, sis. I appreciate that. I'll see you this weekend.
Yep, we appreciate you. Thank you too. Thank you too, Nisa. Uh-huh.
Thank you.
You guys have a good night.
You right. too.
You too.
All right.
Aww. Yeah. Well, you know, and that phone call is also one of the things that made me feel really good because I saw so many people getting involved and meeting new people, and I've seen a lot of relationships continue after the event, and I know you have too.
Yeah.
And then you for a second you got to think, you know, like, you know, playing a role and bringing people together and getting them, you know, getting them talking and working, you know,
exactly.
networking, like, you know, like that's a good way to kind of spend your life, but something you also mentioned I wanted to touch on real quick because I heard you say it kind of a couple of times, and this has been on my mind too because honestly it bothers me a little bit, but I know it's out of my control, so it's just something you got to accept, but it's just not easy only because, you know, of having a good heart and being a loving individual and just wanting to see people really win and take advantage of themselves. So I was kind of, you know, I've been listening to Nipsey for a while now, so every day still.
Yes.
But, you know, he got a statement in there that kind of bothers me, and I know it's real, and I've been thinking about it a lot lately because I feel like a lot of good things is happening in my life. Like, it seemed like all the things are coming together that I thought I could do, and you know, like, the universe is really just kind of respecting who I am and just making stuff happen.
Yes,
I'm like, dang, you know.
Yes.
But in the back of my mind, you know, you talked about, you know, certain relationships and people that, you know, you couldn't really involve in the stuff that maybe you wish you could have, you know. And Nipsey got this verse saying that, you know, circle got small, everybody can't go.
Yeah, that part.
And it's a little bit tough for me because I care about, you know, where I come from and the people that I grew up with, you know, and the fact that we can't align on something more passionate and something bigger kind of bothers me because I know I can't really be as close as I used to.
Right.
So
right.
Do you find this to be something you go through or that you think about at all?
I do. I do keep my circle small for a reason, but I think overall it's just that you, how about this? Everybody, you can be the greatest person, like the sweetest person and whatnot, but your work ethics are not on point, right? Mm-hmm. When you do a business and you involve friendship, it can be a little bit hard because a lot of times you just want to have fun. You want to do this as a family, but then also you want to make sure you come out correct. Right, and so if they don't have that level of work ethics, then it's hard, and you sometimes have to, like, you know, let them go, and, like, you know, this is not personal, you know, I want you to do better, and when you do better, let me know.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, because it's okay, because maybe this is not your time,
right?
You know what
right.
I mean, and it's okay, and that's, I want that person to be able to accept that, and, you know, take and learn from that, and be like, okay, and see the bigger picture, and not, because a lot of people might think that they'll take it too personal, you know, and they just like, well, what? Well, no, maybe there's a reason, you know, and if I try to explain that and they don't see it, then maybe that obviously this is not the time for us to make this work.
Right.
You know, like maybe we might have to try this a couple more months, years, you know.
Down the line.
Down the line. Another lifetime, you know. So, it's okay. I feel like now for me, I have to learn how to set that to be okay of letting people go.
Right.
And if they were meant to be, they will come back. Right. That old school saying, you know. So, yeah.
Was that something that came to you just through living, or did somebody ever hit you with that?
My father.
Yeah.
He always said, but I have to go through it.
Okay.
You know, when you're young, you ain't thinking about it. You're just you know, my kids looking at me sideways half the time when I tell them some stuff too now. But ultimately, they will learn.
Right.
You know, you're going to learn today. Right. You know, it was one of those things where you end up learning and you actually have to take that in and take that in stride and, you know, go on to the next.
Right. I think that way of kind of putting it to somebody is, you know, just right now, not saying that this won't work, just right now.
Right now.
You know, and that, I think that's powerful, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they're able to accept it. But I think also if you've ever had that, like had somebody actually look out and you saw what that did because you were not able to necessarily go at that moment and then they came back around and it was your time. I think that, like, if there was more of that being done, you have that experience and you were able to see what they meant. Mm-hmm. So now you can communicate that, I think, better to somebody else because it's coming from experience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's huge. That's why I was checking with it to see if that was something.
No, that's true. I mean, I think, like, I mean, at the end of the day, when it comes to your career or whatnot, I mean, you got to pay your dues, right? You need to either do that internship or assist that person so you can learn. That's at the end of the day, you can read all the books you can read, but on hands-on, when you are not there and you're not, you know, getting that hands-on, it's going to be hard for you.
Yep.
And I would rather you understand that and learn from that. I probably won't be able to express how I know, but I want you to see me.
Yeah,
I want you to watch me. I mean, not everybody's like that. I understand that.
Yeah,
you know, okay, if you're a writer, let's write that down. If you want to record me to get it, cool.
Right.
There's different ways. Sight, hearing.
Right.
You know, can't digest my words, but you know what I'm saying, right? So it's like, you know, so I think that if people have that mentality, I think that, you know, it gets better.
Yeah.
It gets better.
Coach,
I know when I talked to you a few weeks ago at the hotel where you're doing the show at, Sentinel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you might have touched on it already, but in case I miss, you know, any clarification, you big on community, you know. You're huge on community.
Yes.
And typically people big on community are filling a void. You know, there's something that you see that's a challenge that's kind of missing, and you know, you're making a conscious effort to fill that void. You know, and just like in summary, what is that void from your point of view? Like the main void the community's missing, and part of the reason why, you know, this event is taking place. And you know,
I think the void is all of us coming together, being stronger together.
Mm-hmm.
Funny thing, that's the Sneaker Week's
tagline
right now. It's, you know, stronger together. I feel like being aware of that and knowing that we can help each other out, and we all doing the same thing, but we can make it better. We can make it better, bigger, you know. And if we all have that same work ethics and that same passion, we can make it happen.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to be with like-minded people, and if that person is not like-minded at this time, then it's okay, you know. Let's keep it moving, because that's what we have to do, right? Life keeps on going. So if we stop the train, you know, where are we gonna go? So
love
it.
And so another quick question: who was your inspiration? Who do you listen to? Who do you follow? Personal friend, somebody in your life, somebody online, TV, audiobook, anything that you kind of outside of Allah, you know what I mean? But like inside, just personal things that you connect with.
I just think about, I have mentors. I've had mentors throughout my life, different people in my life. I feel like I'm blessed. I'm a writer too. I write in my diary, you know. So I sometimes look back and, you know, think about, like, what have I gone through? What this feels familiar, you know. What did I do wrong that time, you know, around or whatnot? But yeah, I try to have, you know, at 22, I had my first mentor, and she owned a boutique, and she was also about throwing events and everything like that. And man, I love clothes too, so let me go ahead and shop and learn from her. Right. And I did. And I think that was like my start, you know. She was in my life for about 5 to almost 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And that right there, I mean, I always loved throwing parties. I'm Nigerian, you know, we like to have a good time, yeah, sing, dance, whatever, and like feed people, all that stuff. And why not do that at the same time and giving them something that they've been longing for? Yeah. Listen, we watch BET. We live in Portland,
right,
okay?
Right.
Okay, we didn't get hip-hop until like, what, 96? We didn't get hip-hop music in
hip-hop,
our...
Hip-hop, yeah, probably yeah, about 90,
you know what I mean? Anything 94. That had to do with our culture, mm-hmm, we didn't have it tangible in our hands here in Portland, right? We started like 30 years ago. So I think that's a void for people who grew up here,
yeah,
and there's some people who are transplants here are missing, you know, is that that culture,
yeah,
that that I would say Black excellence culture, you know what I mean, that we are longing for, that we see on TV, but we don't get that here. And that's that void,
right,
that I'm trying to fill, right, you know. At the end of the day, I'm trying to fill that void of, I want to be on red carpet, I want to feel good, look good, you know. I want to get fancy and be around, you know people that, you know, look like me and think like me,
yeah,
you know, time. Why not? We don't do that. And then, you know, I feel like when we do try, sometimes we have antagonists that come in and, like, you know, and try to mess up that whole dream, yeah, you know. And I think that, like I said, if we are stronger together, we can make it even better, mm, you know. So yeah,
I feel like a lot of us, I think in Portland we naturally kind of bred, you know, to question, like, you know, allegiance and excellence,
mm-hmm,
you know, only because it's not, we don't see it as a normal thing,
right.
I think in other communities and other you know, maybe parts of the country or the world,
mm-hmm,
you know, that excellence is a normal you know, conversation,
right,
and a normal network of things that always take place,
mm-hmm.
So I feel like when you're important, you got to create that, you know, yeah, because nobody's gonna give it to you, you, mm-mm, know. And that's why it's a little bit difficult out here, because no one's gonna give you any blueprints. You got to start creating, so,
yeah,
and then you got to let the energy kind of just build around you,
mm-hmm,
and then you start to become great. But
mm-hmm,
the problem with that is, you know, our city's so small and it's such a foreign concept that the minute you get your stuff together and start being great, it's like you just immediately start outshining everybody, you know, and then you get put on this pedestal when you're just, right, trying to be yourself.
Self, exactly.
You know, like,
and I mean, I think there's like that for everybody in their own town, mm-hmm, right? When they start to become great, like, look, think about President Obama, right? You know, Michelle Obama, right? Like, I mean, I feel like people who is surrounded by you and who respect you is going to be right next to you,
right,
and you just have to keep that, you know. That's that reminder, you know. I mean, yeah, it's like what they say is lonely at the top, you know. So it's okay when you have those small right of people with, right, you, you know. So
that's cool. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, we want to make sure, before we get off air, we short on time, but
okay,
want to make sure that, you know, you talked about your team. Can you real quick give them some shots out and, you know, just thank a few people, because,
yes,
I know they're probably listening and,
yes,
we don't want to leave them out.
Right. So the Sneaker Week clan, the founders, Herbert, Megan, Jonathan, people at Pencil, everyone, my team, Bloom team, Stephanie Mall, Aaliyah Lux, Etrice Brazel, Marianne E., you know, shoot, everybody that has worked with me, you know, in the past, like, I thank you, I learned from you. Yeah, it's been amazing. And everybody's gonna be on the show. So Stack and Kick, David Jefferson,
hey,
Amir Morgan, you know. Oh, we got DJ Wilbini. Oh, that one, that part. Oh, I can't, yeah, wait for y'all to experience him. You know, of course, Issa, Easy McCoy, you know, Kenton Hotel, Provenance Hotel, Sentinel Hotel. They've been amazing, you know, to us.
I see my bro Black Mannequin gonna be in,
yes,
the building.
Yes, Black Mannequin, thank you. Broken Glass Podcast, Vocab and Trey Renee are hosting. I also got Village Vibe, a podcast is coming. So listen, like, yeah, we're all are doing it. Listen, y'all are there, you know what I'm saying? Right. So like, let's all come together and, you know, make something beautiful happen, and it's all gonna be recorded. Y'all can go on Facebook too as well and look under Sneaker Week Fashion Show, and get some tickets there too as well. Black Portland on Facebook, you know, I've reached out to y'all, so y'all, you know, get them tickets too.
All right, all right. Well, that's it. We will see y'all this weekend.
Decorating everything.
Pull up.
Cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor. My behavior is hereditary. But my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it get funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what? I won't hesitate. Take that this one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well I'm dropping English. Even if Yella makes it a cappella, I still express you. I don't smoke weed or sex, cause it's known to give a brother brain damage. And brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing but making a sucker in you equal. Don't be another sequel. Spread yourself. For the pop chart, so where should a brother like you start expressing yourself, my boy, and show you how your track,
what up,
drop English right about now. Getting back to the PG, that's program, and it's easy. Dre is back, new jacks are made hollow. Expressing ain't the subject, because they like to follow the words, the style, the trend. The records are spinning again and again and again. Yo, you're on the other end, watch a brother blend dope rhymes with no help. There's no fessing or guessing while I'm expressing myself. It's crazy to see people be what society wants them to be, but not me. Ruthless is the way to go. They know others say rhymes which fail to be original.
This is KBOO Portland. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from People's Co-op, a community-owned, values-driven, natural foods cooperative open daily from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. featuring farm, direct, organic produce from more than 30 local farms, bulk foods, and a weekly farmers market every Wednesday year-round. Located at Southeast Tibbetts on 21st Avenue in Portland for almost 50 years. Online at peoples.coop for more information. KBOO programming is also made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Oregon Zoo Concerts, presenting Taj Mahal with Mark Cohn, featuring guest vocalist Blind Boys of Alabama, featuring Friday, August 16th. All ages welcome. Tickets and more information available online at zooconcerts.com.
Thank you.